Luke chapter 20, verses 41 through 44. This is the reading of God's Word. When he said to them, "How is it that they say the Christ is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, David calls him Lord. And how is he his son?" Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. Without your Spirit's work in us, we might hear physically, but we will not benefit anything, because it's only by the work of the Holy Spirit that we will hear your word by faith. And Father, through your word, let us see what our Lord has done and accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, bless all of us that your word will be preached correctly and they will not only hear it, but believe it and obey it to bring glory and honor to you. Receive all the glory, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're looking at Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God. We came to the end of chapter 20. We could consider from chapter 20, verse 41, all the way to chapter 21, verse 4 as one unit. But if we are to do that, today's sermon will be really long. So we'll divide this section into three sections. And we're going to look at this unit in three times. So today, we're going to just look at verse 41 through 44. The Jewish leaders argue with Jesus in order that they might catch him in some statement. But all those groups who came to Jesus, they all failed. And now in verse 41, Jesus asked them a question. Now, Jesus is doing this to show us how much the Jewish leaders do not understand the scriptures. So we begin with verse 41. Then he, Jesus, said to them, "How is it that they say the Christ is David's son?" Now, obviously, Jesus is not denying that the Christ is the son of David. But through this question, as we said before, Jesus reveals their ignorance of the scriptures. God, with no uncertain terms, told his people from the Old Testament that the Christ is the son of David. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 through 7, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness, from then on and forevermore, the justice and righteous. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." So obviously, there will be a baby born who's going to be the Prince of Peace, but he's going to also be called Mighty God and Wonderful Counselor, Eternal Father. But he said, God says, on the throne of David and his kingdom, this child will be born. And he's obviously referring to the Messiah. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23 and 24, then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now, you need to realize at the time of Ezekiel, when he wrote that, David was long dead. But God promises another David who will be the king. Obviously, God is referring to the Messiah. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. Now, there are so many Old Testament verses that tell us that the Messiah is the son of David. But here, to show the Jewish leaders' ignorance of the Bible, Jesus asked this question as if there is something wrong with the truth that the Messiah is the son of David. So he asked, how is it that they say the Christ is David's son? In what sense that the Christ is the son of David? And our passage continues, verse 42 through 44. For David himself says in the book of Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore David calls him Lord, and how is he his son? Now let's analyze what Jesus is saying here. Jesus says, David himself says in the book of Psalms. Then Jesus quotes Psalm 110. Thus, Jesus here testifies that the Psalm 110 is written by King David. And in Mark chapter 12, we have the same story. There in Mark 12, verse 36a, we read, David himself said in the Holy Spirit. So the Bible tells us that the Bible is inspired by God by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So, we believe that David wrote Psalm 110, but what he wrote is inspired by God. Thus, Psalm 110 is the Word of God. And that Psalm, in that Psalm, in verse 1, which our Lord quotes in verse 42 of our passage, says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. So, it says, Lord says to my Lord. That's what David says. So, when he says, the Lord says, who is that Lord? Well, Jehovah God. But Jehovah God says to my Lord, David says. So who is David's Lord? The Messiah. So he's saying, the Jehovah God says to my Lord, Messiah. The question is then, if the Messiah is the son of David, Then why would David call the Messiah his Lord? How can David call his son his Lord? How could the Messiah, who is the son of David, also be David's Lord? This is the question. Verse 44, therefore, David calls him Lord, and how is he his son? The Jewish leaders who are ignorant of the scriptures could not answer this question. Now, these Jewish leaders, what kind of Messiah were they waiting for? The worldly Messiah. Just a human Messiah. Just a son of David. The kingdom that they were waiting for was also a worldly kingdom. So their hope was that human son of David will come and establish the worldly kingdom. The strong worldly kingdom, just like the kingdom of David. So when these people read Psalm 110, which was quoted by Jesus in Luke chapter 20, verse 43, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. When they read that, they think that the verse is about God conquering this world and establishing the worldly kingdom. Just like what we saw last week, these people interpret the Bible only in terms of the understanding of this world. Why? Because this world is all they know. I mean, if you don't believe in heaven, then this world is everything. I keep saying that to you. And if you only know this world, then whatever you understand or interpret or know is only in terms of this world. And why they love to do this? Because they only know the world. And they love this sinful world. So they completely reject God's will for His people. God wants His people to seek heaven. But these people, they only desire the world. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things there are on earth. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So it's very clear what the Bible tells us. The will of God for us is for us to focus on heaven. But these sinners, represented by the Jewish leaders in our passage, their focus is always on this world. But this is serious. To focus on this sinful world is to reject God and His kingdom. Because His kingdom is a heavenly one. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 through 19, for many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Now, our Lord's question in our passage, for His people who knows the Bible, who know the Bible, this question is not that hard to answer. It is the same question as, who is Jesus Christ? David, calling the son of David his Lord. Now, what does that witness? When you see King David calling his son his Lord. Well, it witnesses that the Messiah is not just a mere man. Because if the Messiah, his son, is a mere man, why would he call that son his Lord? The Messiah is also God. David's Lord becomes the Son of David. God became a man. And he became a man. He did this to represent his people. Only true man is able to represent men. That is why the animals that were used to sacrifice in the Old Testament, those animals could not truly represent the sinners. Because animals cannot represent men. Only men can represent men. That is why Jesus had to become a man. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is a man, but at the same time, God. He is 100% God and at the same time a 100% man. And there's only one person who is like this. No other man or no other God is like this. 100% God, but at the same time 100% man. This is why Jesus is the only person who is able to save his people. If our Lord Jesus Christ is only a man, then he could not have paid in full our penalty of sins. Why is this? Because the penalty of our sins is the eternal death of hell. And unless Jesus is infinite and eternal God himself, meaning that if he is a finite man, then he could not have paid our penalty of our sins in that short period of time. If he is just a finite man, then it will take forever to pay for our sins. Meaning he has to die the eternal death to pay our sins, but as a finite man, that will take forever. He has to die the eternal death to pay for our sins. For a finite man, it will take forever to pay for that sin. Then it will take forever to find out if our sins are paid in full. Thus, at this time, if Jesus is just a finite man dying for our sins, then we have to conclude that our sins are not yet paid in full. Because we still need to wait. He needs to die forever. And when can we find out that our sins are paid in full? Well, we have to wait forever. If he is a finite man dying for our sins, that's what has to happen. But he is also God. Only reason that our Lord Jesus could die the eternal death in terms of a finite time is that he himself is an eternal being. And because he is the eternal God, the time does not apply to him. Even if he died 1 hour or died 1 week or 1 year, it really doesn't matter. He died eternally, for he himself is eternal. But even 1 second is applied to the eternal being, it is applied eternally. So he was able to die eternal death, even though in terms of time of this universe, He died, I don't know, around 3 hours. The Bible doesn't tell us exact time. But we know because he is eternal God, we're so positive that he died eternal death. So the finite man Jesus, if anybody believes that, that Jesus is just a man, no God, that kind of Jesus cannot save anyone. But the Bible is very clear. Even our passage witnesses this very clearly. The Savior is a man, but at the same time, God. Thus, Messiah is a man, son of David, but at the same time, God, David's Lord. Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. See, Jesus is David's son, but he is also God's son, God himself. The Son of Man, and at the same time, Son of God. And we must believe in this Messiah, who is David's son, but at the same time, God's son, meaning David's Lord. Only this Jesus can save us. But these Jewish leaders could not answer Jesus' question, because they don't believe Jesus is God. Jesus, the Son of David and the Son of God. Now, we could go to many places that explains this. But I'm just going to read to you one passage, Acts chapter 2, verse 25. This is a bit long, so follow along. For David says of him, David says of Jesus, I saw the Lord always in my presence. Here, the Lord is the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So David is saying this. I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness and with your presence. It sounds like David is speaking of his own resurrection, but he is not just speaking of his own resurrection. Because verse 29 continues, Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ. And he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer today. So what Luke is saying in Acts chapter 2, David was speaking of resurrection of Christ. Why? Because he knew, because of the revelation that God has given to David, that there will be the Messiah who will come and who will resurrect from the dead. This David. And we know at the time of writing this, when David also, like in the past, says that I see my Lord who is living, he cannot talking about his own self and his own resurrection, because it says, we know that he died and was buried, and his tomb was with us even that day when this was being written. So how can he talk about, you know, his resurrection has already happened when we still know he has died and buried and his tomb is with us? So obviously he was talking about the Messiah. This Jesus, raised up again, to which we are all witnesses, therefore having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. This Jesus whom you crucified, David already knew. The Messiah is the son of David, who has been resurrected from the dead and sat at the right hand of God, the David's Lord. The right hand of God, what does that represent? Well, as you know, God is spirit. Thus, we cannot really speak of his right hand or his left hand. But when the Bible speaks of the right hand of God, it is speaking of the place of authority, the place of power. And this Lord is sitting at the right hand of God. Right hand means to rule, because he's sitting in that place of authority. So it is speaking of ruling as the one with the authority, such as a king. So when Bible speaks of Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God, what are we looking at? He sits at the throne, the place of authority and power, and he rules. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 46, besides, Solomon has even taken his seat on the throne of the kingdom. That's how the Bible describes it. He sat on his throne, meaning he started ruling as the king. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12, and Solomon sat on the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was firmly established. Same thing. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 19, so Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king arose to meet her, bowed before her, and sat on his throne. Then he had a throne set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. We're looking at the same thing. The one who David calls the Lord, the Messiah, he sits at the right hand of God, meaning he's ruling as a king. Until when? God says in verse 43, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. This clearly shows that even though Jesus accomplishes the kingdom of God, and he now sits at the throne and rules, there will be in his kingdom enemies during his kingship. This is very, very important. So many people do not believe that kingdom of God has been established right now. And reason they give is that they point to the world and say, there are too many enemies of God. If God's kingdom is established, how can we see the enemies of God? But you and I, we believe that he has already established his kingdom. And we do see his enemies existing, but we don't see anything wrong with that because that's how the Bible shows us. The pre-mill and the post-mill do not allow God's enemies during the 1,000-year kingdom or in the post-mill case during the period of the kingdom conditions. But Psalm 110 is very clear. Psalm 110 verse 2, the Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. So the Messiah will rule in the midst of his enemies. So we know that the kingdom of God has been already accomplished, and he rules, but his enemies still exist. Until when? Until God makes all his enemies his footstool. And when will that happen? Well, that's going to happen at his second coming. So this verse is speaking of the kingdom of God that Jesus Christ will rule, accomplish and rule until his second coming. So it is referring to the church age. Yes, in the beginning of the church age, Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead and ascended to heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God to rule. That's the beginning of church age. Until the time of his second coming, when God says to that Messiah, until I make your enemies your footstool. In Luke chapter 22, verse 69, Jesus says this right before his death on the cross. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. So he rules as the king all throughout the church age. And after his second coming, all will be visibly consummated and he will reign forever and ever. So Bible divides the heavenly kingdom into two stages. Visible state after his second coming, but until that time, kingdom will be hidden. But it is the same kingdom. And Jesus is the king. He will rule. Starting from his resurrection all the way to the end of the foreverness. I don't know how you could say that kind of stuff. But what is important is that even now, this during church age, the kingdom of God has been accomplished and Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God as the king to rule his kingdom. That's important. Because if you believe in pre-mill or post-mill, you're saying that the kingdom of God is not accomplished yet. Or at least the kingdom condition has not begun. You need to wait for that. No, Bible doesn't teach that. It's already accomplished. That's why we could say to everybody, we're already citizens of kingdom, already citizens of the kingdom of God. Because if a kingdom of God has not begun, then you are not citizens of that kingdom which is not even begun. But Bible clearly tells us that we are the citizens of that kingdom. Jesus is already the king. He sat down at the right hand of God. And he will rule in the midst of his enemies. Yeah, after second coming, there will be no more his enemies. Of course not. But until then, until God makes all of his enemies his footstool, he will rule in the midst of his enemies, which is referring to church age right now. If you're thoroughly confused, then talk to me later. Let me end this. Therefore, David calls him the Lord. So how is he his son? In what sense the Messiah, David's son? Just like what we said before, Jesus is not denying himself being the Son of God. But what is more, being the son of David, I'm sorry. But what is more important is that Jesus is David's Lord, that he is God. In Jesus' case, the Son is superior to the Father because he is God. In any other case, the Father is superior to the Son. Only in Jesus' case, the Son is superior to the Father. Jesus is superior to David. The most of the Jewish people at the time knew the Messiah only as the Son of David. But now, through the full revelation of God, all the people of God knows that Jesus is not just the Son of David, but also the Son of God, who is sitting at the right hand of God and rules the kingdom of God. And even in this, you could see all the principle of this world is passing away. The eternal world begins. God becomes a man, and he came to accomplish the kingdom of God, meaning Jesus Christ, he came. And you and I, we must believe the biblical Jesus, who is a 100% man, at the same time, 100% God. No other Jesus can save us. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And Jesus Christ is his name. David's son, but also David's Lord. And he is our Lord, our God. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace upon us. Thank you for your word. It clearly shows us Jesus Christ, whom we must believe to be saved. Jesus Christ, who is a son of David, at the same time, David's Lord. Jesus Christ is our Lord, our God, our Savior. So, Father, let us understand very clearly from your word who Jesus is, and let us believe that true Jesus. There are so many false teachings on Jesus Christ even now. So, Father, let us study your word, hear your word, to truly understand the true Jesus, 100% man, at the same time, in 100% God. God, man, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you, and we give you all the glory, honor, and power. Pray all this in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.